Well, if you follow some of the UK papers, you've no doubt been watching this story unfold. 3 months after Britain celebrated Freedom Day and ended COVID-19 restrictions, the country is recording one of the worst daily infection rates in the world, with close to 50,000 daily cases. Those numbers are extraordinary. The UK's rate of infection, hospitalisation and death from COVID is higher than its European neighbours. And some health experts are pressing the British government to reimpose some restrictions. Martin McKee is Professor of European Public Health at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine and joins us now. Professor McKee, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you. Good morning.
What's happening in the UK? Why are these case numbers so high?
Well, we never really got them down. That was the problem. So we opened up at a time whenever our rates were much higher than in other countries. Countries like Denmark, for example, have opened up relatively successfully when they had a very high rate of vaccine uptake and their case rates were low. Now, even they're having problems now, but we went ahead despite having high rates.
And so how big is the gap then between the other European nations and what's happening in the UK? How stark is that difference?
Well, there depends what country you're comparing it with, but typically we're about five or six times higher in terms of cases than in many of the other Western European countries. Death rates, we're not doing quite so badly because, of course, we have increasingly got good treatments and the vaccines do provide a high level of protection against serious illness and death. But we're much higher than anywhere else in Western Europe.
And Martin, can you paint a bit of a picture for us? What's daily life like, say, in London at the moment? Are there masks? Are there restrictions? What does it look like if you were taking us for a walk down the street?
Well, two ways to look at it. If you were just to walk down the street, you would see that it looked relatively normal. When you're on the London Underground, probably, I mean, I'm guessing at the minute, just from my own impression, but about a quarter of the people are wearing face masks. When you go into shops, it depends what part of London you're in. I think where I live in North London, quite a few people are wearing masks in shops, but it's certainly not universal. But we've got to remember that there are a lot of people who are just simply not going out, so we're not seeing them, the clinically vulnerable, who are still staying at home quite a lot, and important not to forget them.
And what's happening in some of the major European nations like Germany, France and others? What kind of restrictions do they have that you were talking about before?
So there is very almost universal mask wearing in France, for example. They have a vaccine passport, which people show effortlessly. I was in France a little while back, and it seems to not be a problem. You just go into a restaurant, and everybody pulls out their phone and shows they pass on the phone. And there's a very, very high level of mask wearing. And it's being enforced by peer pressure. So one's hearing accounts of how somebody might get onto a train not wearing one. And you know, basically, people say, well, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And so on. And so I think that there's a very high level of adherence to the restrictions because, you know, they're recognising that they're doing very well. Denmark has relaxed many of the restrictions and they did so when they got to a low rate, but they're beginning to see a bit of an uptake. Again, Portugal, very high level of vaccination, doing very well. And they're continuing to have many of the restrictions in place and the high level of mask wearing.
What's the vaccination rate currently in the UK?
So it's about 67-68% of the entire population. The thing you've got to remember is, well, first of all, that's looking at people with two doses. We have a booster program which is not going particularly well at the minute, and we were very slow to extend the vaccination program to 12 to 15 year olds. We were well behind the rest of Europe on that.
With this, they had early success with the vaccination program, but that means, as you're talking about boosters, that some people are going to come out the other side of that. Their immunity will be starting to wane. How concerned are you about that and as the country comes into winter?
Yeah, quite concerned. So essentially, we were about 3 weeks ahead of the rest of Europe. So if you were to look at a cross-section at any particular time, we seemed to be doing really well. But then we ran out of steam to some extent and were overtaken by many other countries, Spain, Portugal, Ireland, and so on. And we do know, of course, because we were early, that we are seeing the waning immunity, particularly in older people. We know from looking at Israel that if you can get a high uptake of boosters, they've really turned their Delta wave round very effectively. So we need to do that. The difficulty is that there are people are trying to get vaccinated, but it's proving challenging. It was a phenomenal effort to get lots of volunteers, general practitioners mobilised and everybody else for the first time round. And that doesn't seem to be happening at the minute. And we're having lots of accounts of people who are booking an appointment, but finding that it's maybe 100 miles away turning up and their problem with the records and so on. So I think we really need to get the whole thing going back the way we did at the beginning.
What do you think is the lesson for other countries about what's happening in Britain at the moment?
I think the lesson is pretty clear in that there is no magic bullet with all of this. I had a colleague wrote in one of the national newspapers how Britain was pursuing a vaccine just, you know, only vaccine policy, whereas other countries were using a vaccine plus policy, which is, you know, we need to get high rates of vaccine uptake, but we need to have the other things in place as well. And particularly mitigations that don't inconvenience people too much, like good ventilation, CO2 monitors in rooms to check that the rooms are being ventilated, that sort of thing, as well as sort of sensible things around mixing to try to minimise it without inconveniencing people too much. The other thing that we need to get is our testing system sorted out, because we have had a major problem with one laboratory, and it's the government is being very quiet about what actually happened there, but that clearly has had a material impact in cases in one part of the country. Colleagues are just working out the exact impact, but it's quite a lot, and that's certainly contributing to the high rates in the southwest in particular.
We've had some snippets of news about a variant called Delta Plus. Are you seeing much of that, and what's it like?
So that's the AY4.4.2 variant. It's got two mutations. And what we're always worried about is if we get a new variant that is out-competing the existing one. Delta is very highly transmissible. And we've seen that even in other parts of the world where there were variants that had some immune escape, Delta was still out-competing them. Now, we're seeing this going up to about 10% of isolates in the UK. The one thing that we do well in the UK is the genomic sequencing, so we can be confident about the data. But it's never entirely clear at the early stages of something like this whether what we are seeing is that it happens to have gotten to one part of the country or in one group of the population where the rates are going up rapidly for some other reason. So therefore it appears to be, it is going up rapidly, but whether it's simply because of that or whether it really is out-competing the Delta variant. And we just don't know that yet. So I think we're going to need another couple of weeks of data to be much more confident about that. But clearly it is a matter of concern.
Just very briefly, what do you think the chances are of restrictions being reintroduced?
Two arguments on that, or two issues to consider. One scientific, and the scientific argument for reintroducing restrictions I think is overwhelming, but the important thing is the politics in all of this. And I think there you have to look at the internal politics of the Conservative Party. It would be very difficult for our Prime Minister Boris Johnson to implement serious restrictions, and he could even face a leadership challenge if he did. So I think that's the primary issue here, and it's not the science, it's the politics.
Martin McKee, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you.
That's Martin McKee, he's Professor of European Public Health at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine.